I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies on Voice of Vashon KVSH. Today, I have a special guest who's been on the show once before, my dear friend Martin Fevrier. And the last time when Martin was here, we discussed him, you, I'm looking at him right now, and how he came to be in the United States through touring with different bands and all sorts of crazy things that brought him here. But today, we're going to backtrack. Before that, before all the tours with Screaming Trees, we want to talk about his time leaving Great Britain, getting out of England, and traveling Europe, mainland Europe, for the first time. Martin?
Hello, Megan. Thanks.
Hi. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me back. That was a lot of fun last time.
Oh, it was great. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, listening back to the show, I realized I interrupted too much. So this time I'm going to be patient.
Can you? Can you be? Shall we try? I think you were just fine, personally. You can interrupt. You're a good talker. You're a wordsmith. Get it all out. That's what I say to you, friend.
I can.
Okay.
Anyways, so, it's great to be here again.
So tell us, for the people that didn't get to hear the last show, you grew up in England, obviously.
Yeah.
We can hear that from your accent. And what's the town called again?
Hadley.
Hadley.
It's in Suffolk. It's an old Anglo-Saxon town. 9th century church, 13th, 14th century guild hall. A Anglo-Saxon king, Guthrum, was buried in Hadley, apparently, in, I think, the 7th or 8th century, something like that. So it's a lovely old Tudor town. It really is beautiful, yeah. But not much to do for a
young man.
No.
And then there
no.
comes a time when the early 20s roll around and it's just time to go.
Yes, I hadn't planned to go, but the way that things turned out is, you know, I was involved in music. I fronted a band, so I moved around England.
Will you please
quite a
tell
bit.
Us the name of that band one
no,
more time?
No, I won't.
Please.
I won't.
Please, Martin.
1,000 people.
Yes.
Terrible.
There it is.
Terrible. Anyway, so, you know, I had aspirations as a musician to try and get somewhere. But you know, it was difficult. We had some success, so I'm very, very grateful for that. We played lots of shows and
around England and
yeah.
Scotland and Wales.
No,
maybe?
No, mostly London, Southeast England. Mm-hmm. You know, mostly in that area, Southern yeah. England. But it was really through working with some bands, from the States and Europe. That gave me the first opportunity to travel, you know, outside of England. I mean, I had been, I had traveled out of England a couple of times.
With your family?
No. Although my mum and dad, they, you know, we camped a lot. We did a lot of motorcycle trips. They never left England. We went to the Isle of Man when I was young for the races, which was mm-hmm. amazing. It's my earliest memories, which is kind of wonderful. But we, you know, the furthest we went to Scotland once or twice. We went to Wales once, but most of it was in, you know, mainland England.
Right.
When I was about 19, one of the I worked with a guy who was a bodybuilder. Like, he was a graphic designer. I was a graphic designer, but he was he was one of those guys that was so ridiculously good looking and a bodybuilder. But he was incredibly paranoid, just crazy. It was insane, you know.
Just his personality.
His personality, you know. And, but He was nice enough to me, and one day he said, "Hey, you know, do you want to go to? We'll catch the ferry to Zeebrugge, and then you know, it's really fun, and we'll go over
to
there."
To where?
Zeebrugge. It's in part of Belgium.
Oh, okay.
You know, you get the ferry from East Anglia. The water Felixstowe is the terminal there, is the big port. So I said, "Sure," and you leave it like, you know, whatever it is. You know, you leave it. 9 o'clock at night, and it takes like 7 hours to do 28 miles across the ocean. I don't know why, and it's freezing
Imagine
cold.
It's probably faster now.
Oh, it's just terrible. It's, you know, and we got there at like 5 a.m. And I'm like, what is going on? And it was freezing cold, and I was not clothed correctly. And what I didn't realize is this guy was really only going to Zeebrugge because he heard that the pharmacies over there would sell you
steroids. Oh no.
And we just went from pharmacy to pharmacy while he was like asking for steroids and all the
like
people
a Tijuana
saying no.
run.
It was terrible.
Oh, that
it was
horrible.
Terrible. So that was like my first experience of getting out of England, which I didn't enjoy.
Did you leave
much.
That town at all? Or no, that's
no.
literally where you
no,
went.
No, that was it. The port town of Zeebrugge, I think. Zeebrugge.
How long did you stay?
I think we're there like 4 or 5 hours. It was just awful. And then you get the ferry back. So my first taste of leaving was
not even
a lot
worth
of fun.
It.
But then later on, I actually went to Greece a couple of times and traveled to Rhodes, mm-hmm. which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It's a gorgeous island. It has an old part of the city, which is, you know, probably 12th, 13th century, just gorgeous. There is a, a huge castle on the waterfront that was built by the Knights of St. John, or you could call them the Knights Templar if you want to. Just beautiful.
It sounds beautiful. I've never been to Greece.
It's one of my favorite places. I've been back multiple times. And for me, going there with really not a lot of knowledge of what it would be like, it was a huge eye-opener for me. Just the archaeology everywhere. You could rent a moped and just
travel.
Just drive around that island.
Like when you were...
And see huge ruins, like off the road with no fences. You could just go and walk around them. Statues, columns.
Oh, sounds so beautiful.
Thousands of years old and beautiful.
When you were, you know, a young man in England, where was your main goal? Where did you want to get to? Aside from the United States, like in Europe, like where?
I grew up with pretty limited expectations, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my teenage years, and actually it was my drama teacher, Tim Strugnell, that really kind of gave me permission to be someone other than the vision I had for myself. My dad's a very quiet fellow. My mom was a nervous lady. Yeah. You know, my mom was beautiful, wonderful, smart, but not well educated. My dad is very resourceful and very, very clever, very good with his hands, mechanical, making things, very fixing things. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say I've inherited a portion of that. He was also artistic. He could draw very well, but he never got the opportunity to follow that through.
Because of economics.
Yeah. And also, you know, sure. his mother was a housemaid and his father was a dairy farmer, you know, a laborer.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it just didn't lend itself to
it
that
It didn't lend itself.
Direction.
You know, you had to go and get a job when you left school. There was no college. You know, there was no chance of college.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So he went and got a job at the co-op butchery, delivering little packages of bacon and stuff to people around Ipswich on a bicycle.
Wow.
You know, when he was 18.
Which is a travel experience in of its own.
But he
right.
saved up enough money to buy his first Sunbeam.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, his first motorcycle, which is how he met my mum. So you travel. Travel, right?
Yeah.
It brings opportunities and experiences that you just can't have.
Well, it just opens your mind up.
Yeah, even
completely.
If it's in your own country. Yeah. Yeah. So going to Greece and finding that wonderful new food that you've never had before. They're just a mixture of a few things that you know, for some reason, you know, when I was a kid, finding, putting basil or basil and feta cheese and cucumbers and tomatoes together was just absolutely impossible.
And yeah, it was not a thing.
It's just not a thing you thought
no,
about.
No,
why would you put those things together?
You know, it's interesting how we can perceive ourselves, and it's great that you had that drama teacher, because I remember when I first met you, I would not have thought that you came from a family that perhaps wasn't as culturally advanced as you are necessarily. You know what I mean? Like very working class, because you're very smart. You're very witty. And when somebody actually says, you can do this, you can open your mind, the world is out there and you just have to grab it. And you grabbed it.
I think, yeah, I mean, to me, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did too.
But it came in ways that I didn't expect in those opportunities, like through, my first opportunity to tour Europe with a band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things all kind of happened by accident in many ways. I got my first real tour with the Screaming Trees because the guy who had owned the little tour bus was staying in England because he wanted to do a big cannabis resin deal that I didn't know about. And I didn't know about it until the end of the tour when someone came and picked the van up from me from Milan and said, Darren's in jail. And I was like, what? Yeah, he got caught, at Dover with 20 kilos of cannabis resin in his car. And,
could have gone down with that situation.
The reason he didn't drive the tour and he wanted me to drive the tour is because he was staying behind to do this huge deal.
I
drove the van and the little tour bus instead. So, I mean, if he decided to not do this,
you wouldn't have been on that tour.
I wouldn't have been on that tour.
Yeah.
You know?
For some reason I misunderstood for a second.
You know, all these weird things, that come up.
Yeah.
That change the course of your life without you even, I mean, you know, without planning these things.
So what was the band that you toured with the first tour that you did within Europe?
It was really outside of England. It was a band called The Herb Garden, who were from Bristol. Great, really cool band. They were like, I would describe them as a cross between Sly and the Family Stone and Iron Maiden.
Wow, that's pretty
super
cross.
Funky and really heavy.
Just as a side note, Iron Maiden was the actual first band that I ever saw live.
Really?
Yeah, in Chicago. There used to be a festival called Chicago Fest downtown in Grant Park. And they did this thing and they rocked it so hard. I was like 12.
It doesn't matter what you think of their music. Because their music was made in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
Pre-computers. If you listen to their music, it is so incredibly well performed and tight. It's unbelievable.
Oh, no. I mean, it was a whole theatrical show.
Oh, no. They're over the top.
Yeah.
And,
it's
just
great.
You know, it's total Viking rock, you know.
But, absolutely. At its finest.
But anyway, so, they gave me an opportunity to go mix front of house live sound on a tour,
mm-hmm.
which was my first real touring experience as a front of house engineer, even though I didn't know what I was doing. But it went really well. And then it led to other work,
Yeah, and you continue to do that work for a long time.
Yeah, when I came to...
You have a story, and I haven't actually heard it, but it's a tale that you would like to tell about meeting somebody special in Amsterdam. Would that be on one of these tours?
In Amsterdam?
Yeah, in Holland.
Oh yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So, well, actually that happened after I moved to the States, because it was a band that I worked with in Seattle that we went back to play a festival in Europe, but okay. I'll gladly tell the story. So, growing up, one of the great things is about music is that, so much of popular music is spread around the world. And that's, so even if you have languages that are different, culture that's different, your background, we often
music
have a lot
unites.
Of shared music.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and particularly like someone like Johnny Cash, who, I grew up, my father was playing it, all the time. So it was a big part of my childhood music.
It's the opening for this show.
Exactly.
And then going to
Belgium and doing, Pinkpop Festival with a band from Seattle. And then finding yourself, 20 feet from Johnny Cash and the Carter family.
That must have been just a mind-blowing experience.
It was standing side of stage and watching that show. It was just unbelievable.
And did you get to meet him?
I didn't. I didn't.
But you were standing side stage.
I was, you know, it was one of those things where I always try to be respectful. I don't try to meet people. If I happen to meet them, like, you know, if we cross paths or, you know, I happen to be standing next to them or they, you know, whatever, I might say hello or, you know, express myself. But usually, you know.
Yeah. Respectful.
Although when I did meet Carole King, I did fall to the ground and was speechless.
Where did you meet her?
I met her at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2012.
Wow.
When Guns N' Roses were inducted, and I was there for that.
That's crazy.
It was great.
What was she like? I mean,
she was lovely. I mean, I said hello to her, and I just said, I'm just the biggest fan. Because to me, songwriting is to me the deepest musical craft. You know, outside like composer, like being a classical composer or whatever, which is a different thing, but also incredibly deep.
Her songs were so beautiful. And we all just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Tapestry.
I know.
It was amazing.
She was really sweet. She was very nice.
I bet.
You know, we didn't have a long conversation. It was more just one of those things where I'm like, greatest songwriter in the world.
That's great that you have one of your favorite songwriters as a female. Because you've been surrounded by so many like rock dudes for so
actually,
much
I've
of your life.
Actually, I've probably made more records with female singers than I have with rock dudes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, Brandy and Rosie Thomas and Carrie and Shelby Earle and, you know, I mean, lots of female artists, actually. Yeah.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Victoria and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you do have a very long list. I mean, I know you love the ladies.
What does that mean? No, I really don't like them at all.
Martin's a good flirt with all the ladies around
him.
That's
not true. Okay. I'm not. I just like to interact with people.
It's great, Martin. We all love it.
As I tell my wife, God would be very upset if I were not able to see the beauty in all of his creations.
There you go. That is lovely. Well spoken. Adam, my own very special husband, can be very flirty too.
Yeah. And with those legs, what do you expect? With those legs,
come on.
You know, I mean, you know, he's got the best legs on the island.
They are pretty damn good.
They're lovely.
Especially when they're smooth.
Oh gosh, don't go there. Let's get back to traveling.
Okay, let's do it. So where is like one of your, just back to mainland Europe for a second, and then we're going to transfer over to maybe some stuff in the States, but where is your favorite, who is your favorite European audience? Who goes crazy? Who is just bananas?
Well, the Germans loves the heavy rock.
Yes, they do.
They love the rock. Yep. Yes, they must very seriously love the rock. But the Spanish love the garage music. Like if you've got some, you know, if it's like fuzzy and underground and like the, you know, it's Spain and Italy.
Yeah.
You know,
Italy goes in for it hard. Yes.
The French, they don't like music.
Well, they like their music.
They like their music. I see. I'm so English about that, but I'm partly French too. I mean, here we go. I'm going to piss some people off here, but I love it. You can count the number of like, you know, breakthrough French, you know, pop artists on one hand.
It's really actually true.
Try it. No, 70 years of pop music. It's like five people.
What about like folky pop music?
Well, you know, French pops. I do love some French pop now.
I do too. I love Italian pop too a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot. And we've been listening to a lot of Spanish pop lately these days.
No, I've noticed. It's great.
I know. It's fun. It's fun.
And you've been playing a lot of salsa music too.
We have,
We love that. Makes me and my lady boogie.
It makes us all work a little faster, there which we is go. The whole point.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear about different cultures. I always thought it would be fun to see crazy shows in Russia. Have you ventured to that part of the world?
No, I've been to Czechoslovakia. I've been to Prague.
Do they rock hard?
Yes, they and it's a Prague is one of the most beautiful towns, and it's a very fun town.
I always hear that.
Yeah,
everybody loves it.
It's a very naughty town.
Yeah, I bet it's got a pretty good underground scene. I would like to one day go back to Berlin because I hear that that's serious. Yeah. People.
Yeah, are it is. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
I think for it's the music and the underground right. culture.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
These Germans, they love to rock. Martin, all right, you want to talk some about your touring in the United States or your travels in the United States?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that last time and just what an amazing eye-opener that was for me, not really having a comprehension of the scale of the United States, but also the geographic
of
difference,
how big it is,
but also just the difference between, I mean, look in Washington State. I mean, just in this state, you've got rainforest and desert and you've got, you know, mountainous areas, you know, I mean, it's incredible the range of terrain and topography you have in this one state. And then you multiply that by the 50 states.
Yeah, we're very lucky to be in Washington. It's a beautiful state.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, and then the first tour I did with the Screaming Trees, I mean, I think we probably went to, you know, 35 of the states. And I got to see a large, you know, swath of America, the difference in people and terrain and lifestyles. And you know, I always thought maybe I would end up in San Francisco or maybe New York or somewhere like that, you know, when I first thought about staying in the States.
Sure.
But I just came back to Seattle because it felt like home. It just felt like home.
Yeah,
not just because of the
place.
Weather. In fact, I think the weather's, you know, crappier in the UK. At least you have a gorgeous summer here.
Speaking of summers on Vashon, there's a musician that lives here that you toured with many years ago.
Yeah, Pete Droege. Pete was one of, I think, probably the third or fourth artist that I did some long-term touring with. So I started working with Pete in late 1994, I think.
Yeah, will you tell us about that tour?
Well, there's several tours, actually. Yeah, we first started with, I think we were just doing some, you know, small clubs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I flew out to meet them. And then we did a residency tour. Back then it was this idea that you would, you know, try and gain a following by playing in the same club every week, same night every week. Like, you know, Tuesday it would be this town, Wednesday would be that town, Thursday would be that town, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, and maybe Monday would be your travel day to whatever your longest distance was.
Right.
And but it, so that's a nice idea unless you're the people actually doing it, because America's so big. We would be driving.
Yeah, like what distances would you go? I mean, you would be driving all night long.
I worked out for the whole tour when I divided the mileage out that we did. I worked out that we drove at least 300 miles every day, and that didn't include the travel day. We would do something, I think, like 800 miles or something, 600 to 800 miles, because it was a crazy stretch. I mean, we'd drive for 12 hours that day. I think Monday was the day off.
Oh, God, that sounds
I think it was
so
Monday,
intense.
Or was it was Sunday? You know, because these cities, even though, you know, you think they're not that far apart, when you got all of that traffic and all, you know, and it was after.
And food and.
Yeah, after.
Pee breaks or cigarette breaks or whatever.
After about 4 weeks of that, we were just wrecked. I think it was supposed to be 6 weeks. And when we got to the fifth week, I think we were just like, we were getting so sick, we cannot do this anymore.
And there's got to be like weird arguments and.
We actually got along really well.
Yeah.
We
good.
Got along very well. I mean, I would say there were a couple of members in the band or one member of the band that was maybe, you know, liked to, you know.
Push buttons.
Push buttons and pitch, you know, put side against side or whatever. But
and
he wasn't
was
in the band for too much longer.
Yeah. Those people.
And
you
it wasn't
generally,
Pete Orlane.
No. So that was a tour that you did just with Pete and Elaine.
Yeah, and then we did a tour with Sheryl Crow just as she was breaking, which was, you know, great.
Around like the Santa Monica Boulevard time.
Just as that record was blowing up. Yeah.
That's a great song.
That's a great record. It's a fun record.
Yeah.
And then Pete got offered the Wildflowers tour for, you know, Tom Petty.
Which
Tom Petty's
couldn't
record.
Be more amazing.
It was incredible. I mean, we were playing huge shows. Outdoors, they call them sheds, you know, which are basically, you know, amphitheaters, outdoor pavilions that you know, would have multiple thousands of people. And whenever I hear this song, it reminds me of travel.
Sail away, kill off the hours. You belong somewhere, you feel free. Run away, find you a lover.
That was a beautiful song by Tom Petty called Wildflowers. When Martin Fevrier toured with him and Pete Droege, and I want to thank you for coming on. Maybe one time we could have Pete and Elaine come on with you and you guys could talk about that tour.
We have some really fun memories.
I can imagine the three of you do.
We goofed around a lot.
And here, everybody's on Vashon.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I would do this thing where when they were playing, even if they were playing like the hugest stadium, I would run from front of house during a long guitar solo. And I would run up the side of stage and I put on these crazy big like milk bottle glasses and I would do this thing where I call it dance like your dad at a wedding. And they would just, you know, and it was great to see them just, you know.
Just have a good time with that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Martin, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure,
I really
Megan.
Appreciate it. We all enjoy hearing your stories. They're very special and I'm so happy to have them documented here on Voice of Vashon.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you so much. That was the Cats and Jammer Follies on Voice of Vashon. Tune in next week for another tale from somewhere around the world.